You can give me a count around so we can start this show.
2, 3, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
I'll just have to tell them I'm not a thief, just a pervert.
It's about fucking time someone else is.
Shut the fuck up!
Well, you were making it for young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that'll link it bad. For the show, man, go direct to DLNGS.org. And IC channels at LinuxLink.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 806 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show today, we have Mr. Pat.
Join some spring action.
Mr. Joe.
Hello again.
Mr. Gorkon.
I'm here.
Mr. Flying Rich CB.
Yo! At the Hughes Outpost Orlando Command.
What does CB stand for?
Chromebook.
Oh, that makes sense.
With his crouton, right?
Are you using crouton?
Crap if I know.
Oh, so wait a minute. How can you run Mumble on the Chrome?
I guess Plumble? He could be running Plumble.
Oh, yes. Through Android. Yeah, I forgot. Anywho.
Good news. Daniel Suarez has a new book out this week.
Oh, I love his books. Which one?
Delta 5. I have not started it yet, but I am looking forward to it. I've read all of his novels, and I will definitely read this one.
What's it supposed to be about?
It says it is about
200 pages. That's what it's about.
A charismatic billionaire recruits a team of adventurers to launch the first deep space mining operation. So that's what it's about, the first launching a deep space mining operation.
Mm-hmm.
So I look forward to it. I've always enjoyed all his other novels.
Yep.
I don't think I'll be disappointed.
And it's a
book. It's a book, Joel.
It's a book. It's not a movie like I'm going to go see tomorrow night.
That's right. You will be seeing it tomorrow. I'll be seeing it Saturday afternoon.
And don't
I was
worry,
thinking about
I
going midnight tonight.
Is it come out midnight
Can you
tonight?
Get tickets?
I don't know. I mean, I think it opened
first
in China.
First showing is like 6 p.m. tomorrow, most places around
That's
here.
Why it's not, yeah.
Or no,
seriously,
10 p.m.
I was thinking about going to the theater at Universal Studios and just watch it.
Anyway, I'm excited. My showtime's not till 10 o'clock, so I'm probably actually just going to go over probably about 8. There's a nice little restaurant over there called Genji Go, where I don't know if I'll feel hungry enough to eat then, too. Probably not, but I'll at least go over there.
Wait, eat then, too?
No.
You're going to eat, and then you're going to go to the restaurant?
My plan is to avoid spending buku bucks at the freaking theater on a snack or anything. So I'll probably – there's a yogurt place over there, so I'll go over there and get me some frozen yogurt. So that'll work. But
because frozen yogurt isn't fattening, ever.
He's not worried about the money. He's not worried about getting fat. He's worried about the money.
No, not really. But no, I just don't want to spend.
Wait,
I don't want to spend. I don't want to spend $30 on a popcorn and a drink. That's ridiculous. But
hey, Joe, they're all starting at 6 o'clock tomorrow around here too.
Well, when me and the wife go on Friday. Hopefully during the day when, you know, most people are not available. We're going to go to Alamo Draft House and probably spend way too much on food.
Yep. But you see, that's
worth it,
though.
During.
they play. So it's a movie theater called Alamo Draft House?
Yeah, and they got dinner too.
Oh, okay.
With beer.
Yeah, it's a draft house.
Well, you know, I thought it was just a draft house. I didn't know it was a movie theater.
Well, Alamo Draft House is a movie theater, but it's also a restaurant, and they have beer.
And it's actually like a small chain too, isn't it?
Yeah, because there's one in El Paso, and there's three or four of them here in the Dallas area.
Yep.
Now, is it only a movie theater, or is it? Is there
a bar.
Part of it that's just a restaurant without having to go to the movie theater?
There's a bar slash restaurant type thing in some of them.
And, like the one that we had. The one we had. There was a place, if you did want to eat, you could sit down. The front rows, they would put tables at, and you could sit there and eat. But
I think the term is bistro.
I think you're right, because we have a cinema bistro over here and the Paragon, which are a little more, I guess you'd call them upscale compared to the Cinema Cafe, which is more of like a step up from Chuck E. Cheese type environment and restaurant type place. So
I'm going to see.
Not that it's like.
I would say I'm going to see it at the AMC. We have an AMC here in Grove City, and it's actually going to. I'm going to the IMAX, not 3D, but IMAX. I'll be sitting way up in the front row. So, yeah, that was about the only thing I can get for tomorrow night. But
blinded eyeballs. Yeah, that's one thing I did notice is that most of the showings were already sold out for tomorrow evening, and I don't like people well enough to deal with that.
I don't mind that. Certain movies, like Avengers movies, that usually works out really well because you get the super geeks in there in the first day or so, and people will cheer. Like my favorite, back when they were still bringing out Star Trek movies regularly, my favorite day to go see those was always the first one because you'd have the Trekkies in there, and we would all, I saw one of the first ones I ever saw that way was Star Trek VI. And, you know, when certain things happened in the movie, like when they blew up the bird of prey, everyone cheered, and, you know, it was awesome seeing it in that kind of a crowd.
So my wife wants to see the movie, and before I'm sequestered in Orlando for a week, and I told my wife I'd see it with her when I got back, but I'm like, well, heck, if I'm going to be spending Saturday, Sunday alone in Orlando, I might just go anyhow and see it twice.
Just go and don't tell her.
You sneak in there, watch it, and then seem like you're surprised afterwards when you go see it with her?
Exactly.
Yeah,
I would just tell her, hey, look, I was bored and I went to the movies.
Isn't the Captain Marvel movie still in theaters right now?
Is
it?
It is.
Yes. You mean Shazam?
Yeah, that one too.
Which one do you mean? I thought you were talking about Shazam.
Did Shazam actually come out?
Yeah. It did.
Yeah, it came out. It was
doing pretty well,
I think, from what I hear. Yeah. I'd love to see it, but there's too many movies. I mean, you got, what do we have here? We have got Endgame. And then,
Star Wars coming out at Christmas time.
Yeah, that's a long way. But you got Endgame, and you got Godzilla, and you have X-Men, and then Far From Home. I mean, there's too many movies.
Is Far From Home out?
No. That's
I meant next couple of weeks is going to be, you know, it's going to be Endgame, then Godzilla, then X-Men, and then Far From Home.
Yep.
And didn't they eBay right now for opening night for Endgame? My wife says it's $4,500 for a pair of tickets.
That's just
clear.
Almost $5,000.
And what jackass would pay that?
Somebody's bidding on it, right?
Actually,
yeah, people are bidding on it.
I was gonna say actually the one of the ones I heard about opening night Endgame tickets, someone paid $15,000 for a pair.
But I mean, it's for that much money, you know what? You could fly to Peoria you could get a private jet to Peoria and watch it in, you know, some town of 200 people. Right. And
actually, for less than that,
you could rent a small theater in the middle of nowhere and watch it yourself for a lot less.
So the interesting thing was, I lived in Islip, in the town just to the west of me on Long Island was Bayshore, and there was a theater in Bayshore. It's now a YMCA. And what it was is it was the first theater where they could show premiere movies, because all of the theaters in New York City got exclusivity on the premiere movies. And you had to be 50 miles out of the five boroughs of Manhattan. And that was the first theater 50 miles out. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, so that'll be good. To me, the only other movie I care about that's coming out soon is actually the Star Wars game movie. I'm gonna go take my dad to see that. Mostly because JJ
is
back.
You missed Godzilla, King of Monsters.
I don't care about Godzilla.
What's going on?
I think I care about the Godzilla more than the Star Wars movie.
I did like the trailer from the new one. The Rise of Skywalker.
No, whatever.
Although I don't like. Some of the reactions are just over the top on those things.
Who saw the meme of, you know, the whatever Padawan, whatever her name is, and it was Joe Biden behind her?
I saw that one.
Wait, which are you talking about? Padawan? Ray?
Why would I care?
Okay. Well, you gotta. Because Padma was like, whoa, way back.
Why would I care? Why would I care enough to remember these people's names? They don't care about me.
You don't know that.
No, I know you that. Should know. I know that for
you know
fact.
What? You'd be surprised. Did you see The Last Jedi? Did you stay for the end credits where they said,
I must have missed that one.
Flying Rich from the Orland.
I was going to say, no, I know they don't care about Rich because he's the wrong color. And not female.
How do you know? I might be identifying as a different gender and race right now.
Oh, he's
When I filled out that small business loan.
Yeah,
gender, and I clicked every minority I could. You
Rich
know,
is
so.
The Rachel Dolezal of Orlando.
Darn right I am. I'm the Talcum X.
But no, I'm kidding. Yeah, but no, I mean, you got raise an interesting point. My favorite too is whenever the news thing says so and so, this famous actor or person says blah 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 about somebody else, and it's like, I don't freaking care. Go and freaking act in your movie and leave me alone.
You know what? I just hope it's not a complete clusterfuck, that movie.
Either of them. Because they have a potential, you know. I'll say Last Jedi definitely wasn't the best of the two new, you know, not counting Rogue Squadron or Solo. I finally did get to see Solo. I saw it on Netflix.
Yeah, me too. Rogue is probably the best out of the sorry lot.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was in Jackson, Michigan, and I was alone, and I think the movie ended, I don't know if it was like at 10 o'clock, and I'm really glad things exploded at the end of the movie. Otherwise, I would have been all night at that theater.
I know, right?
Damn right.
Did you fall asleep in it, huh?
Yeah, I'll say that. What, about Solo?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were Solo. Talking about Last Jedi.
Well...
Yeah, it's if it wasn't for the explosions, I would have been there till morning.
I just like the fact that if you've seen the trailer for The Rise of Skywalker, my favorite part of it was when Lando Calrissian was flying the Falcon. So I didn't even know he was going to be in it, but yeah.
Whatever.
That means he's going to be dead by the end of the film.
Most likely.
I'm so confused. They killed Han Solo. How is he going to be in another movie?
Go to bed, Grandpa. Right.
Well, this is it, apparently. This is the last one, they said.
Well, for the, Ray movie.
Or for Sue. For any of them. They said they aren't even making any more.
Yeah, I know. They were going to make a Boba Fett one. Or, I know that a lot of the ones they had were getting canceled. But
not the Jabba the Hutt. They didn't cancel the Jabba the Hutt movie.
Well, to me,
the origin story.
I didn't say to me, I thought we already knew the origin of Boba Fett.
But we don't know the origin of Jabba the Hutt. I mean, I that's a movie I'd go see. Can we start an online petition? Can we go to whitehouse.gov and start an online petition for that? I want a Jabba the Hutt origin movie.
For an origin of Jabba the Hutt?
I'd pay to see that.
He's a worm!
Did he get bitten by a radioactive spider as a worm? What? How'd it happen? There's Linux stuff.
You want some Linux stuff?
There's Linux stuff, yeah.
Come on, we're only 45 minutes into the show. So we can't talk Linux now. We gotta keep the listeners guessing.
That's it, right? Here's my
problem. Wait, you have just one problem?
Just one problem right now. I am kind of on the fence about the outcome of this upgrade that I did on this laptop.
Uh-oh, you mean you're ready to do a nuke and pave?
I'm worried I might have to, because things are running kind of squirrely and slowish compared to how it was before. And I'm trying to decide whether I should try and reset my profile on here.
So was it running Raccoony and some other mollusk before? You said squirrely and sluggish. I figured it was Raccoony and some other mollusk.
Yeah, I don't know. Squirrely and sluggish. Yeah, no, it's not as responsive as it was. As it was before. I usually don't have this problem with Arch, but I think like after three or four upgrades, in place upgrades on Ubuntu, I've had this happen before where it starts to get a little.
You don't go back. Something else.
Part of me is like I should go back and play with Slackware for a while. I love me Slackware, but.
I'm too lazy for all that.
You said Slackware, it reminded me of the wedding story at Southeast Linux Fest.
Yeah, there you go. And I know last week I was talking about looking at the differences in snap packages and maybe flat packages and native installs, and I don't know. It's after the upgrade, it's been pokey. And
what about Gumby? What? Mm-hmm.
He died. When the hard drive died. Man, I spent all day today dicking around with Docker. Boy, was that a pain in the butt. It was kind of fun. So what we're trying to do is our continuous integration pipeline is that when, and I think I've gone over this before, but when you do a pull request in GitHub, that launches our integration in Jenkins because it has hooks in the GitHub. So when a pull request comes in, Jenkins automatically runs the tests for it. So the steps that are involved is it checks out that version of the repo, that branch pull request of the repo, and it builds a container, a test image off of the whatever application it is. And once that test image is built, it uses that to run the tests inside the image container. And depending on the application, there's generally linting, unit, and integration tests, but some of them have like other user integration tests, user regression, and security testing and all that stuff. And once that is complete, if it's successful, then it reports back to GitHub. Thumbs up, it can be merged, it passed all the tests. You merge it, and it goes through that process again on the master branch once it's merged to we used to have it. I don't think we have a test anymore on the master branch because it's already been tested. But then it builds the production container and pushes that out to Quay and launches the deploy job, which will put that image that's been deployed in Quay, drop that down into a container automatically in our development environment for testing purposes, at which point then it moves on to staging and in production. But anyway, we have two really big bottlenecks in this process, and that involves the preparation of the testing container. And what we've had in the past is it will pull a base image from Quay, which is a base CentOS image, and then it will do the installation of the application and build the test container for that application with the application in there. So that involves two stages. One is a yum install of the necessary libraries and compilers and tools to build the test image, and then an npm install, because they're node applications, of the actual application itself. So what we want to do, try to leverage not having to do that same step all the time for like the same PR and or the same, you know, group of PRs, because you only have to rebuild the application, like do an install of the application, if you change the dependent modules, which are all defined in package JSON, or if you change the Docker file or update something in the Docker file. So what we thought about doing was we take a sum of those files and we base the Docker container image name off of that sum. So when we start the installation or the build of the test container, I extrapolated two steps. I took the base CentOS image and created a base Node.js image, one for production and then one for testing, so that we can circumvent having to run the yum install every time we try and build these images. So that will build off the base CentOS image, our base production and testing image. And then from those base images, all of our node applications in these separate repositories would pull that base test image and build the actual application based test image. And it would be tagged as the version based on the checksums of the files that it was dependent upon, so that any pull request that is made would take the checksums of those three files and try and pull the image of that version. And if it existed, it would use that image as the base test. But if it didn't, it would just rebuild it and push it up there for the next application that uses it. So that was the start of it here. Getting that part together with creating the image based on a tag of the checksums and storing that in Quay was fairly easy. The problem that I ended up having, and what we were looking at is we tried another route, like compared to our existing process, which is when it builds a container, it runs through the Dockerfile script to install all the dependencies in yum, and then it will copy files from the working directory, which is the repo, up into the container and run the install inside the container and everything would be there. So we were like, what we need to do is we need to pull that process apart and do the install outside of the copying of the rest of the files if possible, or have to figure out how we can copy the files up into there, do the install, and then remove all those files for that base container to be used elsewhere. So what we tried doing, and this is, and see if you can spot the flaw in this idea, right? So what we tried doing was we take that initial base container and I run it, that image, I'm sorry, not container, that image, and I run it as a container and mount the current working directory inside that container, which has the repo on there. And from there, do an npm install. So it's running the npm install inside the Docker container, but it's running off of the local working directory, which is the repo checked out inside the Jenkins agent. And when it completes the install, the node modules, it copies them over to another location inside the container to be saved. And then it detaches, and that's the built container, right? So we have that built container with the new modules inside. All the work has been done locally, so it hasn't transferred the actual application files and the testing files into the container. And so that's great. Now, what is left, though, are the whatever the npm install had done, which is essentially pulled down all the node module dependencies into a directory called node modules. And that's now on a local file system, which is inside, which is the checkout part of the repo. And so now I have a container with that up there. Now, can you spot the flaw in this problem?
Staying awake?
Oh, man, that's rough. So the flaw, the big problem that I ran into with this is it works pretty good unless you screw up and then you run into a problem with user permissions in that when... So the Jenkins system and job runs as a Jenkins user. But when Docker runs, right, and it mounts the local file system, Docker runs as a root user in that container. So the files that are created on that file, on that mounted file system, are designated as being owned by the root user, which I didn't think was going to happen or didn't even realize it would happen initially. But when the job is finished and it pushes that container up the Quay, we are left with that node modules directory that was created inside the current working directory, and it is owned by root, which means the Jenkins user can't do anything with it. So when the job completes, whether it's successful or not, it tries to clean itself up, which means it wants to delete that working directory. And if you run the job again another time, the first thing it tries to do is delete the working directory that may have existed before if it's there, and then recheck it all out and start with a clean work environment. It can't do that because there's files in there owned by root. And I found that out the hard way.
Chmod 777 fixes all.
So I couldn't run the job anymore because it can't clean out the job. But that's the thing. This is all in a Kubernetes container. This is all in Kubernetes, right? Our Jenkins agents are running on containers, which I don't have access to, right? It's a hosted Jenkins container, so I don't have access. So I'm like, what the hell am I going to do? Every single agent I have managed to screw up on, and I can't run the job again because the files exist. So there's three users I have to play with. There's the Jenkins user, which is what the job's running under. There's root user in the Docker container and a node user in the Docker container. And unfortunately, I can't create a Jenkins user in the Docker container easily. I mean, I could, but then the user ID isn't going to match up because Jenkins user in Jenkins is 1,000, and the new user that I would create in the container would have to be 1,001 because the node user, which already exists, is user 1,000. So the user IDs wouldn't work, and I'd still have a problem. But I can't run the installation as the node, like in the container, as the node user, because the node user doesn't have permissions to the mounted file system, because it was mounted as it was mounted. It's owned by Jenkins, and only root could write to it if you're not the Jenkins user. So I found that out the hard way. What I had to do to solve this problem, right, is I had to create a whole other job that takes just like that test container, one of the test containers that I'm building, and runs a job inside that container to delete the working directory on the agent, because that is running, would be running as a root user, which would allow me to then delete the files that were owned by root in the old working directory. So that was a pain in the ass doing that. But that would, you know, it was a learning experience. So tomorrow I got to figure out how I can kind of do what it is we want to do and not have to muck up the file system if that's possible. I think we have a path forward, but we shall see. That's exciting Linux stuff. That's containers and continuous integration and all sorts of fun, groovy stuff. Because it is written in a lot of the Jenkins scripts.
I like Grails better than
Groovy. Who doesn't love Groovy, right? No, you like Grails better, huh? I like it when you're trying to find documentation on how to do something, and there's like five different ways to do it, and different none of version. The damn things work because whatever it is you're using implements a weird version of what you think is like, yeah. Jenkins implements Jenkins Groovy, right? Not like Universal Groovy, but so there's things that I try to do that I see, and I'm like, Din, it's not working. Why
are you doing
it work?
Stuff in the Groovy language?
Jenkins Groovy. It is Jenkins Groovy
subset.
Language. Like, yes.
And do you find you like Groovy?
It is Groovy, but there's some things that don't. Do I like Groovy?
Well, I kind of like that
it's all right.
It really takes out all of the frickin' unnecessary wordiness, keystrokes, whatever. It's the absolute maximum minimum of crap you have to type. There is no...
I mean, it has... I agree with you. It has that benefit. Well, what are you writing Groovy for?
Well, I was like, looking
is it,
at
is
Grails.
It Groovy,
and,
or are you
basically
actually using Grails?
I wrote a manual on how to convert Cold Fusion to Grails. Because Cold Fusion got a bad rap, and, you know, we're looking at something.
Got a bad rap?
Seriously,
not Cold Fusion,
if anybody
huh?
knows anything, there's nothing wrong with Cold
I think
Fusion.
Like,
absolutely
for me,
nothing
the difference...
wrong with it.
Yeah, if you're stuck in the 90s, right?
You know what? Seriously, it's a mature language. It has all sorts of crap worked out for it. You want to jump onto some, you know, hipster stuff and take chances with it?
Well, just like there's nothing wrong with COBOL either.
You're saying there's a problem with C. Like, C is much older than the 90s.
True.
My problem with Groovy Rich isn't Groovy itself. It's how Jenkins implements Groovy, which when you look at Groovy examples, they don't necessarily work inside of
Jenkins. Yeah, if you don't have a good reference.
So you're sit there I trying to fiddle Jenkins around with it. I
didn't realize Jenkins was implemented with Groovy.
Yeah. They have a, yeah, their pipeline syntax is Groovy. So there's a couple of different ways you can do pipeline and node syntax, but they're both Groovy.
Nope, not possible.
There we go. Now you'll be using Jenkins next, huh?
Not unless we bring out a product that uses it. Why not? Move over to the cloud team, maybe, but. Anyway. Now. No, sir. Dun, no.
Next installment of CPAP time? Weekly?
No, CPAP Weekly. No, more like rant on, like, okay, my wife, she uses things that I never ever thought she would. But we, my wife.
She married you. What do you expect?
Well, yeah.
Who?
We got an HP, like, basically the office style version of an inkjet printer. You know, so it actually
well, that's
has
your first problem.
It has an Ethernet jack on the back, has Wi-Fi built in, and all that jazz. She uses a functionality I never thought she would ever use. There's, if you walk up to it, you can press a button and say scan the computer, and it'll look for your Windows computers on your network, and then let you scan to the application, to basically into the HP application on, running on the computer. And she couldn't get it to work, and she's like, well, you're supposed to be able to get to work. You're an IT guy. I'm like,
oh, Lord, help us all.
Fuck no. I did eventually get it to work, but what did I do? I do the standard thing I tell all Windows people to do. Reboot your freaking laptop. But anyway.
So my daughter at some event. Oh, hey, Dan. My daughter has an event with school, and she's doing like some slide presentation because she's the whatever historian of band for the year or something. And they say, oh, yeah, to hook up to their projector, she needs a Windows computer. It's like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever
heard.
Rich
is like, kill me now.
No, I mean, Windows computer. Do you mean you need VGA, HDMI, DVI? What do you need?
Don't they give out MacBooks and Chromebooks in schools anymore?
Yeah, but this event is happening at a hotel.
Oh, I gotcha.
Oh, that's the problem.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, what interface?
I bet you they're using WiDi.
Lord help us all.
You know what? I bet you they said a Windows computer because it's a VGA cable that you have to plug into the side of it, right? And ain't no probably. Mac going to have a VGA cable unless it's coming from 1998, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or you have to have a dongle. Yeah.
So wait, I got a question for you guys. How many of you guys have actually trolled YouTube and found the... 11-foot, 8-inch bridge channel.
Yes, it's so very entertaining. I can watch that channel for hours. I don't know why, but I can. My favorite are the ones where the guy thinks he's just caught on the top, and the fact in the roof of his truck's
like his air conditioning
off.
Unit
and,
just got tore.
Yeah, and he tries to back up, and then he makes it worse.
Ugh.
There's another one out there too. I don't remember the name of it, but there's one where basically it was a similar situation, but however hard they hit it, it started a fire too. Did you see that one?
Yeah, I think I did a while back.
It wasn't 11'8" though, but 11'8" is just—it's just so very entertaining. That one, and just look in YouTube. Just type the words "Russian dash cam" into YouTube.
Yeah, that's. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see tanks flying across the road, all sorts of stuff. Yeah.
Or a Bugatti Veyron going into the drink.
That wasn't in Russia. That was in Louisiana.
No, it wasn't. Yeah.
And that was an insurance job.
Oh, really? Is that what happened with that?
That is correct.
But still, the Russian dash cams are just freaking hilarious. I mean, it's just, you know, especially when you see how fast these idiots will drive in the snow.
Oh, go to Buffalo, New York.
Yeah. I've been watching a lot of 3D printing stuff as of late on YouTube.
Do you know how many of our listeners just screamed at the top of their lungs?
I don't really care.
Today on the 3D printing show.
Yes.
Oh, by the CPAP way, I got show my 3D... has been temporarily interrupted by the 3D
CPAP
printing show.
3D printing show.
Yeah. I got my 3D printer up and running.
Yo, you got it again.
Well, yeah, yeah. That was how Joel said he didn't care about the listeners. Great, great one there, Joel.
No,
he just likes talking to you guys.
Yeah, no. Especially Rich. I mean, everyone's getting into this stuff. Event, you know, I mean, I'm sure it bothers some people, but you know, let's face it. If you're at least a bit geeky, you're into it a little bit, so or want to get into it.
Joel, but just because you have a particular disease doesn't mean other people want it.
Yeah, whatever.
Don't you run your 3D printer, Rich?
Yeah, he hasn't even turned it on in 2 months.
About 8 months. I actually did a podcast on 3D printing where people actually cared about it.
There you go. Been watching a lot of Thomas Sandlander. There's also
say it right. It's Sandalanderander.
Sandalanderander. Yeah. And Joel Telling. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Probably the most interesting one was some of the stuff that came out of Murph with the. Basically, they're doing
direct... Murph. I know that guy. He lives in New Jersey.
Murph.
Great guy.
That's the other.
He visited my house.
Murph, the Midwest Rep Rap Festival. And by the way, there is an East Coast Rep Rap Festival, too, coming. It's actually not too far from Door to Door Geek.
Oh, so it isn't in Florida?
No, it's like in, I want to say Bel Air, Maryland, believe it or not. But
yeah, that's like
down the street
from Dora's house.
Yeah, but just... Murph, though, is starting just to be one of the bigger ones of all of them.
It looks like it's in
Goshen,
a VFW
Indiana.
Hall.
Yeah, it's like in the middle of freaking nowhere in Indiana. So, but like you get the E3D guys, and all sorts of new and interesting things like this. I shared this with Rich and Dora today. They're basically a company. I'm trying to remember the name of the company. I'd have to go find the YouTube video I saw. Nimble is the name of the device. But basically, what they do is instead of the Bowden setup, like I have
you
got to
explain the difference between a Bowden and a direct drive. For
yes,
other
a Bowden.
Understand.
Right. A Bowden system is you have a stepper motor, a NEMA stepper motor, that is mounted usually on one side of the printer, and your filament feeds into the feeder there, and then it has a PTFE tube that goes from there to the hot end. All right, a direct drive, which is very similar to what I have on. Actually, no, both of mine are Bowden. A direct drive is basically the extruder motor is right on top of the hot end. And basically pushes it right into the hot end. There's no tube. It basically goes right into the top of, basically right into the extruder, which is right on top of it, and drives it directly into the hot end. The Bowden setup typically is what, like, the Creality printers have it, in anything from the Ender 3 all the way up the CR10X Pro, Ultimakers. Are Bowden systems. My PowerSpec i3 Mini and most of the Lon Howes are i3 are all Bowdens. The Prusas are Bowdens. But the director I have
typically this is her bones?
Yeah, I think so.
No?
Wait, are they director I have? I don't remember. Drive. Okay. Well, I stand correct on that. But that's okay. But the director eyes are typically better with flexible filaments because there's a lot less stuff for that flexible filament to get kinked up in. Like mine, I've got a mod printed for mine, basically a replacement for the plate that goes...
Can I hold on and explain this a little? Yes. So direct drive, like a turntable, that the filament is driven directly by gears, and usually they're knurled in some way that it has right. purchased on the filament. Bowden is more like a bicycle cable. It's the stepper motor is mounted somewhere else, not on the print right. head, and it pushes it through. And, right. and there's right. pluses and minuses on either. So continue.
This is true. Like a Bowden setup, the, typically your hot end will be a lot lighter and can probably move faster compared to a direct drive because the direct drive has a lot more weight because the stepper is right on top
of it. And one more thing for the non-initiated printer people, hot end means the print head that's actually correct. Extruding and printing the plastic. That if you lower the mass on it, you're able to move it at a higher rate of speed.
Correct. So what Rich and I have been talking about, this new thing that we saw is called the Nimble. I wish I remember what the company was off the top of my head, but I'll go look that up here in a minute. But basically, it's kind of a hybrid of the two. Instead of the stepper motor really stays in the same place, but it gives you a series of brackets that replace what came on your printer and lets you put in it's basically they call it a remote direct drive, which essentially what's happening is they have a flexible drive shaft that attaches to the stepper motor and then onto the top of the print head. So, and then essentially what you get is all the best parts of a Bowden system, a little bit less weight, although and if you have a Bowden, like I have a Bowden systems right now, then I would probably have increased weight on the print head. But you get the ability to drive filament through that print head faster, which means a lot for printing. If you're trying to print with flexible filaments on a Bowden, usually you have to slow it way down to about 30 millimeters per second. With this Nimble system, you can probably run it closer to what you would normally run PLA with, which means you print the flexible stuff faster than you were able to before, which is a good thing. So that's something I'm kind of interested in. And it's actually relatively reasonable price-wise, although right now the holdup, I think there's 6 week shipping on them right now, in that if you order one now, you won't get it for 6 weeks because they're having difficulty sourcing that flexible cable.
Go to Thingiverse, print your own.
You could do that. You can definitely do that. But and that's kind of a little bit what I did. Like I said earlier, I printed a bracket, and I've got a Capricorn PTFE tube. Capricorn tubes are essentially very similar to the other tubes, except for they're a lot more a lot slicker. Your filament should go through it a lot easier. The only kind of downside to the Capricorn tubes is that they're not transparent, so you really can't tell where your filament is in the tube when you're mostly affects you when you're loading the printer, not when you're using it. But I mean, the printers now, though, they're just adding so many features now. There's some of the higher end Crealities have filament runout sensors. The one that kind of sounds interesting but kind of sucks is the restart
capability.
Like say you're in the middle of a print and your power goes out. But when you come back up, it's supposed to restart where it left off. But because it takes some time for the printhead to cool down, then most likely you're going to at least have a booger on it. Yeah. That you want to clean off before it starts back up again.
This is a great feature if you're doing a print that's going to take like 72 hours. That's a big freaking deal.
Yep.
That you have snot on one thing, I'd be happy.
Actually, the bigger deal to me is the runout sensor, because then at least
runout sensor you can have with Octoprint.
Yeah. Well, you have to have
that sensor. I added it. You wire a switch to the Raspberry. I got a Pi Zero running Octoprint. I just wired a switch to the Pi Zero, and that handles my filament runout.
There you go.
And it's a plug-in into Octoprint.
That's really important too on the larger printers, like my CR10 Mini, which they do have CR10.
Is that like jumbo build areas?
Essentially, yeah. I mean, really, there's only one dimension that's smaller than the CR10. So I mean, the rest of it, you know, it's still it's 300 by 300 by 220, which is freaking huge build area. You know, I mean, 90% of the time I'm not filling it. So, but that's mostly what your wife because said. It just takes time. Yeah. yeah. That and shark fin ramen from the wolf pit, right? So anyway, but yeah, when you're running these larger printers, like if you have a G-Max or some of the ones that have build areas even bigger than mine, knowing when your filament runs out and getting the print to actually stop when it runs out so that you can come back to it and put another roll on it is critical, especially, you know, if you get into builds that are, I haven't done one and probably never will, but some of these bigger printers, you can have multi-roll prints or not. Just depend how large your build surface is. So the other thing I have not messed around with is changing my the print head from the point standard is 0.4 millimeter nozzles. I think the largest I heard is a 1 millimeter. And that's just with the standard kind of printers. You can get into the custom printers where they have 2 and 3 millimeter print heads. Usually those are custom builds. Buddy of mine just bought us the Anycubic SLA printer. It would be stereolithography apparatus, I think.
I thought it was some lousy answer.
Well, could be.
Joe, I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. So I see like every other day you are posting something that you're printing on MeWe, and I'm like, yep. So what was it today? You said one more drawer to print, and then you can have.
Yep.
So did you print that whole thing?
Yep.
And how long did that take? Because I see you post a lot of stuff, and I'm like, man, I thought this stuff took a really long time to print, but you seem to be just knocking it out.
Each module on that was probably roughly 8 hours, and the drawers are each probably about 4-5 hours, depends on which drawer it is, because two of them are printed with a different filament, the ESUN wood filament. But yeah, I mean, it takes a while, but really, once it's fired up and printing, you just basically, it does its own thing. You can go do whatever you want, and it's not like you have to sit there and watch it. You should check it from time to time, you know, especially when you're first starting off, you know, when the layers are first building up.
That's why Octoprint with the webcam works fantastic.
Definitely, yes.
And realistically, I used to have it in my office, but I couldn't have it in my office because I would just stare at it. You know, it's like...
It is mesmerizing, isn't it?
You know, it's like I could watch, you know, bulldozers at a construction site all day long. Same thing. Yep. You know, if you, the 3D printer, you could just stare at for 8 hours. I had to move it into the garage because I'd get nothing done.
And you're lucky that you can probably move it in the garage and it won't be too bad because your weather's pretty, well, put it this way, you don't get weather like we do in Columbus. I couldn't do it in the garage here in Columbus. The weather's
look,
too bad.
The temperature doesn't go below my age.
Yeah. That's where you're lucky.
But, it's called, I got my ass and I drove to a warmer climate and moved there. You can do the same thing.
I know. I keep trying to remind the wife that.
No, man. He's got to be close to DeVry University. Right?
No. DeVry's everywhere, though, dude. So, I mean, ain't no big deal. But yeah, it's really, I mean, once you slice it and you put it loaded on the memory card, you get the first few layers down, really it just kind of does its own thing. Like I said, check it, of course, and make sure you're not having a fail. Although I will say this, between the i3 mini and my Creality CR10 mini, CR10 is worlds more reliable than the i3 mini. I still haven't yet to tear anything off of the CR10 mini yet, and not that I don't want to. I do. I have some things I want to do to it. I just, you know, I just been having too much fun printing what I have.
You print spaghetti yet?
Not in the CR10 mini, not yet.
Yeah.
Although I should go around with the Allen key and check all the grub screws just to make sure everything's nice and tight there.
I hate that term, grub screw.
I know, right? It's better than the hob.
I guess.
The hob is it the actual tooth one or is it the it's the tooth one that's the hob. And then the idler wheel is right across from it in your extruder. So, but there's lots of people like the Creality group is just it's very good in some ways and very bad in another way. And I think Rich knows where I'm going with this one. Last week, I think it was last week in the group, somebody posted a pit. Now we know that the model for the AR-15 lower is out there. Defense Distributed.
Well, there's many different models out there.
Right. True. But somebody in the CR10 group, and I'm surprised that this post is actually still living, especially on Facebook, with the amount of times Pat has been suspended. They printed the lower, and not only did they print it just to say, oh, that's pretty and that's nice, they actually put all the rest of the gun parts on it, and we're firing it. And they're not apparently there's a bunch in this group that have done this, and that is just a safety issue.
Well, why would you say it's a safety issue?
Well, mostly just because, you know, it's just, I mean, with depending on what you print it out of course, you know.
I don't care what you print it out. Let's just say you made a completely defectively AR-15 lower. What would the problem be?
Well. Yeah, well, true. Most of them will probably be not too bad. You know, like you get, you know, it won't load.
No, or see, won't fire. If the problem here is you don't understand how an AR-15 works, and how the bolt locks, and basically anything that could go wrong probably would be contained in the upper. The worst thing you could have is the bolt carrier group shoot out the back.
Yeah.
So just don't have it in line with your eye.
Or have anybody behind you.
If you're shouldering an AR-15, worst thing that would happen is you got the bolt carrier group bang your shoulder.
Right. But, you know, more to the point, though, I don't know anyone in any range that would probably let you do that, especially if, depending on, well, depending on the area, of course. You know, I'm sure there are areas where they'll let you take any old thing out in the range. But if you walk out with a neon pink lower on your gun,
that's you tell me people don't have neon pink lowers?
No, they do. There's definitely the ones that have the
check out American
coding.
Gun Chick's YouTube videos.
Yeah,
she's got neon pink lowers.
But let's just say this, you know, that's gonna get noticed. No matter whether it's a powder coated or a PLA one, you know, it's gonna get noticed. You know, it's just I personally don't think it's a good idea, and I don't really think. Well, first, I don't even think you should be. I mean, you can do what you want, print what you want. I don't care, you know. But sharing it on a Facebook group or sharing it somewhere and trying to encourage others to do it. I don't know.
So, Joel, did you ever hear of the Whole Earth Catalog or Anarchist Cookbook? The Supreme Court made decisions saying that, yes, explosive recipes are part of freedom of speech and can't be banned.
They are, yes. And like I said, you can do what you want, but...
So you're saying you should be the arbiter of somebody else's rights?
No, I'm just saying don't be an idiot. That's all I'm saying. I mean, you can be an idiot or...
Are you infringing on Rich's right to be an idiot?
Yeah. Mm. Are you infringing on my right to be an idiot?
No, Rich is an asshole anyway, but... But yeah. I mean, just be smart about it. You know, if you're gonna do it, you know, but don't be stupid. That's all I'm saying.
I printed an AR-15 lower in PETG, and my only problem is the buffer tube threads weren't clean enough, and a tap that diameter is like $40.
It's always any even with like the plastic lowers, it's always the buffer tube thread. You have some that are like reinforced with like brass or some kind of metal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have what they call hybrids, where they have some metal inserts.
Yeah, if you don't, they tend to crack after a while.
I'll tell you what, I'm a little ticked off. I assembled a polymer 80, and I don't know if the buffer tube threads are off, but the bolt carrier group is hitting it and won't go back all the way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little pissed off about that.
Out of spec.
Yep. Yeah, if I don't put the rear pin in and I leave, you know, a bit of a gap between the upper and lower receiver, the bulk carrier group operates fine.
Mm-hmm. Boop. Yeah, like I said, you know, that, you want to do it. That's fine. You know, just like I said, don't be an idiot and don't ruin it for people. Yes, that's my thing is I'm not against it. I'm not against it being out there. I'm just saying don't be stupid and give the lawmakers,
all right,
whether it's valid or not.
There's no controlling the abundance of stupidity of lawmakers. You know that. There's,
of course,
I could go to Home Depot or any hardware store and buy enough parts to build a single shot pistol in a couple hours.
Well, you can build a pneumatic gun out of
about
PVC
$5 pipes. You can make a shotgun.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, and then that's the thing is lawmakers act like 3D printers are gonna print a ghost gun. Like, yeah. What?
I don't, dude. I don't even know if the guy has a YouTube channel anymore, but it was Royal Nunsuch. Yep, and he was making, you know, yeah. Let's see, does he still have? Yeah, it says he only has 4 videos. I don't know if they removed. Yeah, I think they took all of his videos down. But he was making guns out of parts around his house.
Yeah, I'd say I'd be surprised if he didn't. But,
oh,
one
of the fun things is he went to a gun buyback, sold all of the guns he made out of, like, you know, hardware store stuff, got it like $100 or $200 a gun, and then bought a Glock with it.
Nice. Yeah, they wouldn't care.
It's like the people that do the magazine buybacks. is people that buy the $7 mags and then they get $15 a piece for them.
But yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, they're acting like 3D printers are going to create something that it's not. It's not possible to create.
You mean it's not a replicator like Star Trek?
Oh Lord, help us!
That's what some of these people act like are. They're not, because I mean, you know that's an endorsement, by the way. If I wanted to give that to someone, I would probably take another hour or two just going over it with some sandpaper a little bit more than I did.
Here's a dumb thing.
Just because there's rough edges on it.
You can build an AK. You can order all of the parts for an AK to your door and the jigs to bend the receiver up if you have a press. And you could get a Harbor Freight press and build an AK-47 in your home any day of the week. So
it's expensive. It's much more difficult. AKs are more difficult than ARs. what's his name? Brandon Herrera, the AK guy. He did a video where he lists out all the, you know, the tools that we would need if you were going to do manufacturing.
Oh yeah,
it's like over $1,000.
Well, people used to have. They would have build parties.
Not as easy.
But anyhow, the point is that the capability. In fact, you can build a number of different guns quicker than you can print an AR-15 lower.
Oh, easy. Yeah.
Using,
yeah, I mean,
conventional, meaning metal, not plastic.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, and you don't even necessarily need power tools to do that either. You know, when I went to, I've gone several times to Colonial Williamsburg, and I went to the armory there. See tons of or you can go see the gunsmith, and the gunsmith the first time I went was like back in late 90s, and they were doing a lot more of it then. I was actually watching a guy work on a gun, and back then you could actually go to them and say, I want a musket. And they'd make one for you. It might take them 3 years, but they'd make one for you. But I mean, they're sitting here doing the rifling and all the different parts that you would need for a musket with basically wheels, you know, like in a trundle. Like, you know, you press it, they keep the wheel going with their feet. In real physical labor, much more so than you would have with the traditional metalworking tools, and they're doing all this without any electricity at all, including making the stock and everything. So you don't need. I mean, you need certain amounts of equipment. You certainly don't need a 3D printer to make a gun. So, I mean, let's not be stupid, you know, like some people assume they are, especially the media.
Where are you going with this conversation? I mean,
it's just that the one thing that I fear.
Can we talk about Beowulf Busters?
There you go. Now, the one thing I fear with 3D printing is because people can do this with it, that lawmakers will want to make it illegal, and that's where I don't want it to go, because I think it would be the dumbest thing in the world.
The genie's out of the bottle, long gone, absolutely long gone.
Well,
too
ever
late.
Ever since 1776, to be honest, you know. But
I think Rich was talking about it being too late for them to put the genie back in the bottle for 3D printing.
Correct.
Possibly, yes. Especially since most of them are being made in China, where they really don't care.
Well, what form are you going to prohibit? So it's easier with like a DJI drone to have lockout areas versus a drone myself. But with a 3D printer, what forms are going to be illegal? And then how are they going to calculate them? Because I could change a couple dimensions on a defense distributed plan, and it's something totally different. But well, it will function 100% the same.
I don't say you're going to make all the parts for a 3D printer illegal. You know, stepper motors are used by a lot of things. You know, not even the nozzle.
Oh, a 3D printer will never be illegal.
Specific,
because you can build a 3D printer. You know, the plans are out there to build 3D printers.
Yeah. Yep.
I can flash the Arduino and all of that. I don't. There's not one stinking thing that's unobtainable.
Well, aren't there some that are starting to use the Pi as the controller too now?
I would be surprised.
I mean, it's not. I mean, you've got the pinouts, enough pinouts for it. You could probably do it completely on a Pi.
Well, it's not a real time operating system, so I'd be kind of surprised if they were doing that.
Okay. Well, I've seen some where they've attached the Arduino on top of the Pi.
Right.
And then you got
the
Duet
boards. Aren't there RTC half?
There are.
Hey, Dan.
Yes.
Hello.
I wanted to let you know that Daniel Suarez's new book came out today called Delta.
They already talked about it.
What?
Oh, yeah.
I came in late, so.
Yeah, I mentioned that right at the start. Did you pick it up?
I pre-ordered it. It downloaded. I just haven't had a chance to start it yet.
Yeah, I saw that last night that it was available, and I pulled the sample down. I didn't buy it yet, but I'm definitely going to as soon as I finish this other book I'm reading. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. It's been a few years since he's put one out.
Did you read the last one, Change Agent?
Yep.
Yeah, that was something. I've
dug them all so far.
I can't complain. Where are you at, Boston?
Yep, I'm still up in Boston.
Cool. Actually, our friend Rich Thomas and Ladderer at MRF last year, he had a video on an Octoprint based basically it's a Pi with the integrated RepRap control boards.
Thanks for taking us back, Joel.
Yeah. So earlier this week, I did get some initial news that kind of made me happy in that Claudio Miranda was planning on going to Southeast Linux Fest, but just a day later, he dashed those hopes.
That's because he heard you were going.
Yeah, whatever. No.
That's what he told me.
No, that's not what he told me, dude.
It's right here in the chat in the IRC. You know, I was hoping to make self this year. But I heard Joel was going, so I'm gonna have to make it next year, hopefully.
Yeah, whatever. No, T told me he had his kids that weekend and they don't want to go. So, but I'm excited. I'm gonna get to go 2 years in a row again. Yay!
He said a Wawa opened up in Miami. Too.
What opened in Miami?
A Wawa.
Seriously?
Yes, I have not seen a Wawa south of Virginia.
Yeah,
that's worthy news.
So I kind of did a Groupon goof. I thought it was a local place, but it was in Miami, and I bought jet ski rides.
At Wawa?
Not at Wawa. Groupon. Oh, wow. The segue was Miami.
Was it not a good thing?
Yeah, I guess it means we got to go to Miami.
How far is Miami from you?
It's not how far is Miami. It's how the driving sucks in Miami.
Okay.
Agreed.
But Claudio could tell us all about it.
I never drove myself in Miami, but I rode enough in Miami to figure out that driving does suck in Miami.
Oh.
Although I'm willing to bet the LA area is worse.
Oh, I don't remember LA being worse than Miami. See, Miami is like Manhattan, but with people that don't know how to drive.
and lots of Q-tips.
Not so much in Miami.
No, they're up in Orlando.
Oh, Lord help us in Orlando. You know, it's 12 Pete. Miles. It's 12 stinking miles on the road to my office. Do you know how long it takes me to get there?
A half hour at least.
45 minutes.
Ooh, that's close.
Is it a highway or is it stop-and-go traffic?
Stop-and-go traffic.
Mm-hmm. It isn't. I'm trying to remember. Is I-4 one of the toll roads down there?
No.
Okay.
Turnpike.
I know there's quite a bit of those.
Toll road for stop-and-go.
Well, actually, they're planning on doing some high-speed lanes or whatever limited access lanes and having them as a toll. So in 20 years, when they finish the road, it'll be like it should have been 10 years ago, which means it'll be 30 years out of date.
Yeah.
Still, I don't see any word yet on the Pinebook 64 Pro.
Yep, nope. Nobody's forced one into my hands yet. But I did get an Odroid N2, and I'm kind of burning it in and smoke testing it. Well, so the only flaw that I can tell you about the N2, so I got it with the case, and where the micro SD card slot goes, I could only possibly reach in there. Like, there's a notch in the case for it with maybe my pinky. I guess if you have small, is it proper if I say Asian fingers?
Maybe.
You might be able to get your thumb in there, but us Westerners...
Whip out the 3D printer, huh, Rich?
I'm definitely going to write these guys and let them know, like, hey, you might want to widen that up a little. Because the notch is exactly the width of a micro SD card. Which...
Oh, man.
And basically, it's pretty much... it's not flush. It's a little recessed. So from the front of the case...
Wait, where'd you order it from?
I ordered mine from Ameridroid.
Do they have a picture of the case? Because I'm looking at the N2 right now.
Yeah,
And it's just showing the board, not... I see where the SD card slot is, but I was just curious to see what the case looked like in the case, if they have that picture.
Yeah, how could I post this where you would see it? Hold on, I'll post it on Instagram. You go to flyingrich.com and see it.
As long as I don't have to go to Instagram to see it.
No, it'll post on flyingrich.com.
It's almost as dumb as how they mounted the micro SD in this CR10 Mini I have. Instead of, you know, the label being up on, you know, facing up as you put the card in, no, it's upside down. You have to remember to flip your memory card upside down before you get to put it in there. Ergonomics, dude. Ergonomics.
I almost shared it on my bird's Instagram account.
Your bird has an Instagram.
Who follows your bird's Instagram account? Does your bird have more followers?
That's what I'm worried about.
Time to shut that baby down, man.
I am a little jealous.
Report him, man.
What the hell's taking so long for this to show
up?
Dude,
I haven't uploaded yet.
So that's a Cortex A73 running at 1.8. It has four of those, actually. Wow. And then two Cortex A53, so it's, what, 6-core?
Hexacore. Come on, man. Get it right.
Hexacore. Okay, hexacore. Ooh.
Okay.
How much was this?
I think it was a little over $100, all said and done. Okay, so it should be on flyingrich.com now.
Nice. You got your favorite.
What the hell is it?
Diapie, where it runs on that?
Actually, what am I running? Yes, yeah, I'm running a beta release of Diapie. Oh, did it post yet? It's not on flyingrich.com.
I'm still waiting for it to show up on your page.
The board's $64.95, and then the case is. Well, you ordered everything. You ordered the board, the case, and a power supply, right?
Yes.
Because it has a barrel connector instead of a micro USB or USB power supply.
It's weird. I don't see it posting on flyingrich.com yet.
Yeah, I don't see it either.
Your automation stuff around broken. Sometimes.
Oh.
But I see other IG posts on there. That's weird.
The 4 gigabyte board's out of stock now, and that's the only one I'd be interested in.
That's the one I got.
Yeah.
Go big.
Yep, or go home. The case is only $6. Wow, that's not a bad deal. Nah.
You run a diet plan? Yes, I am. You said.
So my total price.
Do you have?
Yeah, so oh, sorry, for the Ameridroid order, the 4 gig version's $81.95, the case is $5.95, the power supply is $6.95, shipping was $17.50, worked out to $112.35 altogether.
That's not bad.
No, and it's there are, so if you elect to give data back to the Diet Pie guys, they'll track speed on different tests, and so far this is the fastest board out there. The only problem right now with Diet Pie for the Odroid N2 is they don't have the GPU driver set up yet.
Okay. That little not.
Wait, whoa, is this the case that's like right there on the Ameridroid website, right next to the N2? It's the Odroid N2 case for $5.95.
Probably. If you go to Flying Rich Official on Instagram, it'll be there.
So that little notch on the opposite side of the ports is where the SD card is.
Go to. Hold on, I'll drop this in the IRC.
Okay. Looks like the case can literally come off.
What is it, Flying Rich or Flying Rich Official?
It's Flying Rich _ official. Because somebody else had Flying Rich and they've never posted.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at the case.
It's actually.
And I'm trying to see where it would be on the case.
It really looks like a smaller Nook. Let me look at my Nooks. And the heat is actually, the temperature of the CPU is super good. It's a fanless setup, and it's mounted on an extrusion with a whole bunch of fins. So the temperature is really good.
Wait, how come this case does not look anything like the other case? Oh, wait, am I?
Okay, I see. Yeah, I was right. That.
Oh, I know what the problem is about looking at this case online. It shows you two views. One of the front facing to the left and one of the front facing to the right.
One black.
They don't do it justice.
And I'm like, they really shot the smooch on that one. I can't see I was trying to see what you were talking about, but now when I look at your picture, okay, I see what you're talking about. I was trying to figure out like what the placement of it on the actual thing seems standard to where other thing where it's placed on other devices. Why is it such a hard thing in the case? And I see now I see what you're talking about.
To the left of the micro SD is an IR receiver component. So they really couldn't go left, but they definitely can go right and widen it up so you could actually get a finger in there.
Or even just get rid of that, you know, basically make that notch deeper. That
well, it wouldn't matter if it was a mile deep. You can't get your finger in there.
Yeah. Yeah, good point.
It has to be wider.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you go top down, then you could do it.
Right.
Maybe that's how.
No, I see what you're talking about. Do you not have an EMMC card yet?
I mean, I got some EMMCs kicking around. Unfortunately, Joel's got one of my devices with an EMMC.
Yeah, I do. Yep. And I got sent it to Dan yet.
Wait, where is
that? It's to the left of where the micro SD is.
Does the case account for that?
Yeah, yeah, because the EMMC is all on board. It doesn't stick out. So you would have to slide the case open if you want to change.
Yeah, I know, but when you put an EMC, you put a card in there, I guess it won't stick out on the edge.
No, it won't. I just took the case off.
Yeah, it'll lie flat against.
So the only bad thing about this is sliding the case into the rails. Not like it's incredibly difficult and not like you're going to be doing it all the time, but just aligning the rails into the slot.
Mm-hmm.
Did you print your own, like, rack for these? Or did you buy it?
I haven't printed any kind of rack or anything like that. Everything you see in that picture on Instagram is everything that's on it that I bought.
Well, what do you slot? When you say you use the rails.
So that
you,
aluminum extrusion with the fins on it has, like, two rails where the slot of the, you know, it's kind of like tongue and groove, and where the tongue of the case would engage it. So you just have to line it up right to slide it on.
Yep.
Oh. Oh, I thought that was the actual.
No, the heat sink is part of the board.
That's not part of the case.
The heat sink is part of the board.
Heat sink, right?
And the case just slides on those rails.
I see what you're talking about now. All right. I was thinking you were sliding it into the actual heat sink itself.
It's actually attached to that, and you have some heat sink compound on there somewhere too, correct?
Yep. So now that I slid the case off, I can't get it back on because it's banging up against the micro.
So you gotta pop the card out or shut it down first and pop the card out if it's still powered up.
Yep. Yeah, of course everything's powered up. You see the lights on it?
I did. That's interesting. I might have. I don't know, man. I like my pies. Oh, dude, I power flip. I redid the office, so I got pretty much all new. I'm actually in my office tonight. New furniture, sit, stand, desk, all that stuff. Right. I like it.
How's the desk?
Although I don't stand very much, of course. I have been doing mostly heads down kind of work this week. So really, there wasn't a lot of opportunity to stand up, not a lot of phone calls. And of the phone calls I had, they're working phone calls. Like, I have one Friday that's a working phone call. And anyway, so, but like, when I end the workday on Friday, usually what I like to do is I like to hike the desk all the way up. That way, if I come in here to do anything, like if I come in here, I usually put my Surface and some of my other laptops in here too. So if I want to come in here and either use it or just grab it off the desk, it's easier for me if it's standing up tall. So, but one of the things I had to do though is take all the old furniture out, and one of my desk drawers. It must have been amongst a pile of stuff out in the living room when I was still trying to figure out where to put things in here, which the wife doesn't understand where, you know, she'll just shove crap in anywhere. I don't like to do that because I like to be able to find stuff later, if you know what I mean.
Wait, you're worried about shoving stuff in anywhere because you want to be able to find it later?
That's... Yeah, my wife will just...
Dan, are you spooling off these clips, or are you just ignoring me when I say these things?
Don't be an idiot, man.
Wait. Anyway. We already established that.
Yes,
yeah,
we already
know
that.
Yeah, don't be an idiot,
man. Anyway,
that's my right.
And amongst the pile of... One of the piles I was sorting through out there, there's this board, and it's one of my pies, and she asked me, you want to throw this away? I'm like, no! I'm like,
dude, wait. You have your wife help you organize your tech stuff?
That's No, I don't. She was just getting impatient.
Did she throw away your man card also?
She was getting impatient with me because I wasn't doing it fast enough. okay? Because she didn't want it in her living room. So, you know, anyway. So I rescued that. And the bad thing is I think it's one of the ones I would, probably wouldn't care as much if it did accidentally get tossed out, because I think it's one of the original Model Bs, not a 2 or a 3. My 2 and 3 are both in use somewhere. Somewhere on my network. The 3 is on my open media vault, although I really need to actually put everything back together on that. I took it apart, shut it down and took it apart, because I was looking at designing a 3D printed like a rack so I can keep it all together and kind of wrap the cables and stuff up so it's not sprawled out over that workspace.
Do you know what makes a good open media vault or Plex server?
An Odroid N2.
An Odroid HC1 or HC2.
Yeah.
One of these days, I should order the case from them for that.
Mm-hmm.
No, yep. No, we gotta talk more 3D printing.
They're still wrapping this show up. Some people gotta get to bed.
And CPAP Weekly.
I am 3D printing some Maker CPAP coins Weekly. With TLLTS on them. I'm gonna hand out when I'm at South East Linux Fest. So if
you are
you
printing any
there,
with the Jolly stencil on it? I do
no,
have that
I
on Thingiverse.
Not. No, I am not. Because I didn't look at it.
Is that the picture you?
Yep.
Is that the picture you posted in the Discord?
Yeah. If you go to the Thingiverse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really happy with how that one came out. I basically designed it kind of like a blank, so that I have that. So if I want to alter it and make different versions, I can. And I did it all within Fusion 360.
Okay, I'm posting my Jolly coin in the IRC.
Yeah, we already know about your Jolly coin. Penny 150, you going to Southeast Linux Fest? Hoping the answer's there.
I don't think he is.
He fell asleep.
I don't think he is.
He should drive the hearse.
I heard he's mounting 50 caliber machine guns on it.
Wouldn't surprise me with him. It's
there's a hearse con? Is there?
Hearse con.
Hold on. I gotta Google that.
Didn't Hearst we? Con well, in that Denver. Must have been on MeWe that we covered.
Yeah, but you just got a plain old hearse. You ain't done nothing with it yet, right? Anything cool, anyway.
Right.
Instead
well,
of the, there's a YouTube channel called The Van Life, The Life in a Van, or The Van Life, I think it is. And in 5150's case, he's have to do the hearse life. Life, living life in a hearse. Ugh.
I don't know. The girls look interesting.
All right. I'm going to wrap this up. I'm going to play our promos out. We'll see you, everybody, in a week. Have a safe trip.
Thanks.
Man, fly home tomorrow. There. Safe trip back home.
Yay, home.
That would be
no
trip home for you, Rich, right? No. And Joel, have a safe trip to the back and back to your office. Here we go, your promos and outros. Thanks a lot.
Oh my god. It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
A Jack Attack Podcast. Where chic,
oh dear,
meets geek.
Ones and zeros, ones and zeros, ones and zeros.
Powered by Linux.
Linux.
You by fun. Recorded in Windsor, Nova Scotia. With your hosts, John Watson and Kelly Penguin Girl.
A girl?
A girl.
A girl?
It's the Jack Attack. That's the JAKattack.com. Time well wasted.
Hi, folks. This is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Honky Magoo, 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. So join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Is this where we talk some more?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Sometimes? Occasionally?
It is until,
Oh.
There you go.
Because you don't want Rich hearing what here. He says about it, you say about him.
Yes.
Yeah. You know how it is.
I'm kind of bummed. The my Instagram post hasn't shown up on flyingrich.com yet. I. No, because my
last Instagram
being banned Flying Rich.
It's got to be how I'm pulling the RSS feed from it. But I saw an article that said, happy wife, longer life. Having a happier spouse may add years to your lifespan, study finds. So I wrote, crap, I'm dead tomorrow. Yeah, that one was from Instagram.
Yeah, I saw that one. Was that from Instagram?
Yeah. No, on my Instagram.
On your Instagram or somebody else's Instagram?
Yeah, the one I
Yep.
So that came through.
You know what I noticed about Mumble on 1904? It's not lips anymore. It's a little blue dude. It's weird. Well, it's a new version of Mumble.
Right.
Good night, Joel.
Say good night, Joel.
See, I'm not sure how much I can share, but our organization owns another organization. And usually when we purchase another organization, we handle all of the IT in our highly tuned and best of breed IT infrastructure with our highly tuned best of breed people. And they're completely opposite. And then when something doesn't work, they call us. And make it like it's our fault.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, it's always your fault. You mean that equipment that's out of service contract can't be upgraded, can't be fill in the blank, that you will not let us do? It's like, I just really shouldn't say anymore. But complete fustercluck. I've been on a call since, you know, before five, of people more or less, you know, combination of pointing fingers and ostriching. And you know, the good thing is, you know what the great thing is? I work for a really good organization, and we are of one mind about what's going on and what needs to happen. And so there was no dissent in the ranks whatsoever. It's like, huh, you mean the equipment we've been telling you to replace for years isn't working right? It's out of warranty? And if you need a fix, you got to pay time and material for, you know, whatever technician to come in? Huh.
Good evening.
Jalay.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, you did have a bit of that going on.
Yeah, mine is like, you know, brand new organization. They think it's a brilliant idea. Okay, let's just put all of our freaking SQL databases on one giant cluster server. I'm like, how is that a good idea? Which means simple applications like it installs like the one I'm doing this week, which should have been an AI. I should have already been done. Should have been done yesterday. All right. But now, see, okay, they won't let me install an SFTP server on their SQL server, so they have another one. And then they have a script that's supposed to copy all my files over to where I need them to be, okay? And this is something that's somewhat, not real time, but it's basically a bash that runs and then writes a whole bunch of files out to normally the FTP site that's on the server. And then an SSIS script picks up all the files and sucks them in and creates a database, right? Simple. But when their script doesn't do their thing, it doesn't work. Of course. And then the other call I was on today was did a simple API install for, and I don't even know why we were kind of caught in on this part of the deal, but it's actually part of the contract where I do the install and then they wanted me to be on a call with their third party to help them set things up. And I'm like, all right. Well, luckily, I actually was pretty entertaining. It wasn't too bad, but it's like, yeah. And then for the last 2-3 weeks, they've been trying to get a, I do a session, kind of a teaching session for a bunch of our North Carolina schools. North Carolina, almost every like community college and technical college runs our system. In fact, they have like a statewide contract for things. So, and one of my application consultants and that myself, a technical consultant, we've been doing like a team talk kind of thing. And we usually do it over a Zoom call, but they want us to do the next one in person in North Carolina, which, yeah, I'm fine with that. Which means I get to go to North Carolina twice within 2 months. Once for Southeast Linux Fest.
Yay!
And then the next for this. But at least I get to fly on that one. I get to go through CLIT.
That will be the Charlotte Airport. That's just so wrong.
Yeah, that is like the weirdest three-digit designation for an airport, right? CLT?
I just never thought of it that way.
Guess I'm just got a dirty mind today.
So, Joel, I'm going to be May 19th. I'm going to be like Western Ohio for a shoot. Actually, Pat, do you want to go to that shoot at Thunder Valley?
What is this?
Thunder Valley, May 19th. Cody Boy is going to be there.
Thunder Valley Wire. I've never heard of that place before.
Yeah. I'm going to say
Thunder Valley Precision.
Thanks for the invite, though.
Well, okay then.
I'm doing a
next time you're out for OLF. I say next time you're out for OLF, you need to go check out Vance's.
Oh, what's Vance's?
Gun place in range. Yeah, they have a huge indoor range out in Alum Creek, which is close to my alma mater, DeVry University. Like less than 20 minutes from my house.
No, I've only done 90 push-ups today. I got to finish up with the last 10.
If I buy a gun, more like when.
What do you mean when? How many guns do you have right now?
None.
What?
So is that like a push-up every 3 minutes until you get 90?
Yeah. He's sitting here sending me freaking hang-ups. 80, 90, 70. I'm like, dude, what the fuck?
I'm workout shaming Joel.
Yeah. How many push-ups do you? I mean, how many push-ups do you do at a set?
All right, so I've been doing 10.
Okay, so you do 10 times.
Yeah.
So
yeah. So my goal is to do 100 a day every day. So I'm like kind of shaming Joel has inspired me. Like the most I've done is 60. Not that it's because it's too much, just you forget about it. But now that I have a goal to shame Joel, it's making me follow through. Because I'm sure Joel's going to
go to the
gym.
Just because I know I'm not going tonight. Probably what? Not going tonight. I know I'm not going tomorrow because tomorrow I'm going to go see Endgame.
Well, you know, I did 100 squats. 100 squats are pretty easy to do. But, you know, like 100 push-ups, that's a bit of work.
Do them on your knuckles?
I used to do them on my knuckles all the time. I'd rather do them on my knuckles. I've been just doing them on my palms.
You do them on your knuckles, and when you see Joey, punch him right in the face, say, take that, boy! Take that!
All right, do we get to guess what Joel had for dinner?
I don't know. Smell the microphone. It might come through.
Yeah, right.
I'm guessing McDonald's based on that burp.
Nope.
Delivery.
Nope. It was definitely delivery.
Well, we all
was
know
it
that.
Uber Eats?
Of course.
Was it Postmates? Was it
Uber Eats, White Castle?
We don't have Postmates. No. Yeah, that was actually in the list of suggestions to my family, but no. Popeyes again. I take that back. It wasn't Uber Eats. My wife stopped there on the way home and picked it up.
Same thing. You just didn't have to pay her.
Mm-hmm. No, on our Popeye, you know, the food is generally good, but they usually forget shit. You know, like my wife took
Popeyes. We're half high.
I tried to get. Well, usually my go-to there is their chicken fingers. They're no Raising Cane's, but they are pretty decent.
Oh, wait. We had a meeting at our office, and they brought in, Chick-fil-A? And those chicken fingers are good.
They are good.
Yeah, now, you mentioned that last week.
They are good.
Well, they're that good. They're worth two mentions.
Anyway, but I told my wife I wanted chicken fingers, and for my side, I wanted red beans and rice. And she brought home mashed potatoes. 9 times out of 10,
so
my wife likes to get the coleslaw.
Are you saying your wife is no better than the Popeyes Uber Eats? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that Popeyes is the actual problem, not Uber Eats or
but
my wife.
Your wife couldn't do it right either.
No. Popeyes is horrible.
So how many
the food
nights
is
a week
fine.
Do you cook in that new kitchen?
Once a month.
Why don't you just have the kitchen removed?
Probably twice a month.
No. I cooked twice already this month. Actually,
like
this
I said,
month.
Twice a month.
This month is almost over.
This week.
Both times the day before payday.
No, I cooked Easter dinner on Sunday, and I cooked spaghetti on Monday.
Does spaghetti count?
Yeah, it does. I had a brown of meat because I don't I use jar of sauce, but I glitz it up, dude. I like put some garlic and, you know, make it taste better. But no, I would say two to three times a week is probably about the average. And it depends, because sometimes we'll have like a fend for yourself night where we just warm up some leftovers or something, and other times we may, like last week or the week before my wife said that they had already ate, so I ordered some piada.
Dan, how often is your kitchen used in your house? How many dinners a week are cooked in your kitchen?
Wait, how many meals a day are cooked in the kitchen?
I think there was also one other day. See, that's what he thinks about that. No, I cooked lunch one day too.
Just one day since you got your kitchen?
Wait.
No, this week.
Yes. Now we can.
Oh, okay. Did you hear my response to Rich?
We heard a vague background noise.
Oh. It's not how many a week, it's how many meals a day are cooked. And mm-hmm. usually at least two. More likely three. Because I do breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah, but breakfast can be just a bowl of cereal or a bagel or something.
See, if I'm home...
Or it could be homemade sourdough bread with some avocado and egg and ham.
Oh, he's bougie. He has avocado toast. With some
herbs.
Dude, I'm stopping by.
Balsamic vinegar and a little olive oil on there. Sea salt.
Dan,
yeah.
I'm a little unhappy. I've been posting on Google Plus all the great meals you make.
Google nice. Plus,
huh? Yeah. A little late for that. Let me guess. You have a Google Plus account because your business has one, right?
Has a
business Google Plus. You're like, where is everybody?
Who has a business?
In the next 2 days, I'll probably be making my reservations for Southeast Linux Fest. I'll be doing the same thing I did last year, the solo trip. You know, initially it was going to be exciting because Claudio was going to be there, but no, he can't go. He can't come.
So now the excitement's dead?
No, it's just I haven't seen Claudio in, God, what, 5 years?
All right. We should probably start the show.
Claudio who?
The start. Claudio Miranda, dude.
Claudio who? You mean the guy that lives like 50 miles away from me? And when I'm like
in
a block
Miami?
Away from his house, he says, I don't know you?
What a nice guy.
He said he was washing his hair that week.
All week.
Mm-hmm.
He's washing him individually.
Anyway, I was one of those Easter Easter worshippers. Ha ha.
It wasn't like spring solstice celebrator, you know.
Yeah.